for yourself. Walk through a nursing home. Go to visit someone in jail. I'm telling you, we are blessed. Just to let you know, we will be having regular service Wednesday night. I know some of you will be traveling and be out of town this week. I know it's a holiday week. And we will miss you and pray for safe travels, but we will have a regular service at 7 o'clock. We'll continue our kids' play practice also on Wednesday night for those that are here. So we'll be here. We got any little kids here, Randy? Just Colton. So if you, and Colton looks like he's in a very good place right now. So I think he is fine. He's in the arms of Papaw and eating. So I think he's good. So, all right. We'll get started on our message this morning. Proverbs 23, if you turn to Proverbs 23 this morning. I don't think I've ever have taught out of this chapter in 16 years as a pastor. And I come across and don't go yet. Turn it back, Brandon. Don't go yet. Proverbs 23. What's in your walls? I got thinking about how in our lives, all of our lives, we're continually building our wall. We're building it with our decisions. We're building it what we allow into our lives. We're building it with what we're looking at, what we're listening to, what we're believing in. And those walls either become our best friend or they become our prisoner. And none of us got to where we're at overnight. We got here piece by piece and step by step and season by season. And we're going to talk this morning. I'm going to use some of y'all as an example, so get ready. I'm going to need at least seven people. And whatever your issue is, when I give you a little card, don't mean that's who you are, okay? I'm just going to pick seven random people, or y'all can volunteer, whatever. But we're going to do a visual this morning of what a wall looks like when the devil builds it and what a wall looks like when we let God build it. So I want to start, first of all, go to the next slide now, Brandon, with 3 points about walls. Number one, our walls are built piece by piece with every decision we make. You know, we're great about blaming other people, right? We're great about blaming our parents for our lives, or blaming, you know, our lack of finance for our lives, or blaming the kind of car we drive for our lives. I blame my Jeep for 5.5 years. But you know what? I'm the one that went and bought that Jeep. I'm the one that made that decision. Even my mechanic told me he loves Jeeps because he be seeing me all the time. He told me that. What does rebellious James do? I want me a Jeep. Mine will be different, right? My Jeep will be different. Yeah. Finally blew a head gasket in Charlotte one day, smoking sabbatic like a smoker's lounge at a bar. I mean, that thing was rolling off the motor. Had to go 7 or 8 miles. It blew right in the middle of uptown Charlotte on I-277. Had to go all the way to Sunset Road before I could pull off. And I'm praying to God, Lord, just don't let it stop on me. I think I can. Yeah, keep thinking, please. Keep thinking till you stop. I made that decision. I can't blame nobody else. I can't blame the manufacturer. My mechanic told me he'd be seeing me all the time. And he did. So our walls that we build are made by every decision we make. Now, that's a little lighter note, but what I'm talking about is some deeper things that, you know, when the decisions we make about not allowing God to lead our lives, the decisions we make about the sins that appear in front of us and that look so good, and we're like, that's what I need for my life, so I'll attach myself to that. And then that becomes part of our wall. And as you know, when walls are built, they're pretty strong, they're pretty sturdy, and they're pretty stout. And it's not so easy sometimes for those walls to come down because we've had a lot of practice at building them. And we like our wall. Kind of like old Jack Nicholson in the movie said, right? You want me at that wall. You need me at that wall. You can sleep at night knowing I'm at that wall. Well, you know, the things in our lives that we decide to allow in, whether good or bad, become what stands before us. Our decisions are important, and we control those decisions. You know, we can't say the devil made me do it. Of course the devil's an influencer, but we still make that decision. Say, you know what? The Bible says something about that too. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll what? He'll flee. But sometimes we don't want the devil to flee. We like what the devil's got. He got pretty candy, and we like it. And it looks good, and it feels good, and it tastes good. And so how much resisting do we do, right? When you go to lunch today, how much resisting will you do if you're trying to eat right? Will you really resist? Or will you say, you know what, I'm going to get a salad today. And you get there and, you know what, I'll get a salad and I'll get some steak on it and some shrimp on it and some ranch dressing on top. And I'll eat a bunch of crackers with it, some bread, and it's still salad. Didn't resist a whole lot, did you? You know, you just said, you know what, I'm not going to resist. When we submit to God, what happens is, when we submit our lives to God, then God's allowed to take our lives and help us with our decisions, make better decisions. Next slide. Our walls, I said a while ago, can be our best friend or our worst enemy. Walls have two purposes. They keep us in what we're in sometimes. We can't escape it because we built those walls, so we trap ourselves inside of it. Or they defend of what's coming against us. Two purposes. Where are you at this morning? Is your wall defend against, or are you trapped inside by your walls and can't get out? So many people have built walls, and as I've pastored for 16 years, there are many times during the service, many times as I'm preaching, that I can feel the walls begin to rise up because I don't want that to come in. Pastor, I don't want the Spirit of God to really touch me that way. I don't want to let go of what I've got because I'm pretty happy with my life. But you don't know any better that with God, there's much more joy. That with God, there's much more peace. That with God, there's much more power. That with God, things are so much better. But all you're seeing is what the devil is offering. You're seeing what his menu says. Let's see what God's menu says. Man, God offers forgiveness. God offers redemption. God offers mercy. God offers grace. God offers deliverance. God offers healing. Are you tired of being sick? The old saying, I'm sick of being sick. I'm tired of being tired. It's because we've allowed these walls to stand in our lives and we think we can't get through them because we've built them. I've always been this way. This is 40 years, Pastor. I can't change now. I've done this 40 years. You can change in a moment, in an instant, when the grace of Jesus touches you. All things are new. Old things are passed away, and you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. It can change. We see that with the tax collector, Zacchaeus, the crooked tax collector, who Jesus came, and he'd ripped people off his whole life, kept money. He was crooked. He was known to be crooked. But whenever Jesus came to him, his heart changed. And he went back and began to pay those folks back he had ripped off. He had a true change. When Saul was on the road to Damascus and he was all angry and mad and was going to arrest all them Jesus freaks, and the light of God came down and touched him, the first thing he said is, "Oh Lord, what would you have me do?" And God completely, radically changed his life. It doesn't matter how long your wall's been up. The wall of Berlin was up for a long time, but there was a day that one of our presidents says, tear down that wall. It's time we tell Satan, I'm not staying no more behind the wall that I've let you build. That wall is coming down, and I am coming out, and I am walking in the victory God's given me. Because I'm tired of being here, and it's not right I'm here. I've allowed the devil to keep me trapped by things I have done, decisions I have made, but it doesn't mean that I've got to pay the penalty all of my days because I was that way one day. It's a brand new day. Man, sorrow is for a night, but joy comes in the morning, and it's time we have some joy again. Third point before we get into scriptures. The very walls we build to protect us can become the very walls that enslave us. Think about this. I'll use some of you women for an example. I know women sometimes get hurt by men. I hear it all the time. Women get hurt by men. And so what happens is women will begin to harden their hearts because a man's hurt them. And they'll say, I'm not going to let my guard down no more. I'm not going to love like that ever again. Because I was beat like a rag doll for 30 years. I was abused. I was neglected. I was cheated on 10 times. Whatever the issue is. And I'm not going to allow love back into my heart anymore. So I'm building this wall that I'll get so close to you, but not too close to you. Because the fear of being hurt again. And what happens, that wall stays up. And guess what? That woman never finds the true love God has waiting on her because the wall was standing in her way. I know we've been hurt. I know there's things in our lives that have caused us to be the way we are. There's trauma in some of your lives. There's trauma with the way you were raised. There's trauma with the way your parents were. There's trauma with decisions you've made. Things have happened in your life that has shaped you and cultivated you and made you who you are. I understand that. But at the same time, you serve a Savior who is more well able to overcome anything that's ever came against you. because greater is he that's in you than that which has come against you. And God can redeem all that pain. God can restore and restore, like he said in the book of Joel. I'll restore to you all the pommel worm, the canker worm ate away and stole from you. I will restore it. If we can take an old 1945 gutted out pickup truck and make it look like a brand new truck and sell it for $45,000, can't God take your old 1942 flesh and restore it and your mind and restore it and make it something beautiful again and take the junk that it looked like before and make it a brand new creation? Because he is the potter, you are the clay, and he is the one in control of your life. And it's time we say, God, here is my clay. You are the potter. Shape me, mold me, form me, and put me exactly where you want me to be, because I am tired of the wall defining who I am, where I go, how I speak, and what I do. I'm tired of being bound. I'm tired of being chained. I'm tired of being enslaved. I'm tired of listening to the lies of the devil, and I'm ready for a breakthrough, and I'm ready for victory, because I am a child of God. I am above. I'm not beneath. I am what God says I am. I am royal priesthood. I'm a holy nation. I'm a peculiar people. I am what God said that I am, and there ain't no lie in hell can change that. I am a child of the living God of all creation, and we got to remind ourselves of that. You start doing that, guess what? Them old bricks will start moving a little bit, and you'll start seeing, hey, these walls are starting to change, and I'm no longer going to stay behind what the devil's put in front of me, but I'm busting out. I'm busting out. Remember the Andy Griffith where they were in the cell? Hey, buddy, we're going to bust out. We're going to bust out. It's time we bust out. It's time we come out of our wall. Let's read Psalms 23. Read some scripture. See, I don't think I'm just making everything up. Psalm 23. I'm sorry, Proverbs. Yeah, see, I'm making it up. Proverbs 23, verse 1. Now, this chapter is specifically talking about, specifically more about wealth and about riches and about not letting the deceit of money whet your appetite to a point that you lose the important things in life. Because riches, as we know, let me ask you something. Have you ever had money and then it's gone? Can I see a hand? Goes pretty quick, don't it? It goes a lot quicker than it comes in. But I want to tie 23 into more than just money, because this chapter can apply to other things in our lives that are trying to rob us of what God has for us. Verse 1. When thou, and now the ruler here, talking about a ruler or a king or someone, but everywhere we see ruler, we'll talk about the devil. So just replace the devil, the enemy, in the place of the ruler. When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before you. Ah. Now, we're going to mom and dad for Thanksgiving, for Thanksgiving dinner, and I will definitely consider what's before me. And if I see liver before me, I shan't partake. If I see Brussels sprouts before me, ain't going to happen. I'm going to consider what's before me before I eat. Do any of you go to a restaurant, order your meal, blindfold yourself before it comes, and she sits it in front of you, and while you're blindfolded, you start eating? Of course not. You want to make sure you got what you ordered. If you cut that steak and it goes, meh, it ain't done. Okay? You stick your fork in your baked potato, and you about break a prong because it's still cold in the middle. Your tea ain't sweet when you want it sweet. Your fork's got a speck. We're supposed to be clean. You ain't got no napkins. You look what you got before you. Okay, what do you need? I need a napkin. I need a refill. Can you bring me some more bread? You know, whatever. You look what's before you. It's important as Christians that we always are mindful of what's before us. Because I'm going to tell you something, man. The devil loves to offer you whatever he's got handy. He don't care that Joe Brown been saved 50 years. You don't think he can't still tempt Joe Brown? I know Joe Brown's strong and, you know, he's an Ohio man, and he's tough. He's a blue-collar steel worker. I get that. But you don't think Joe Brown can still be tempted by the devil? Of course he can. He don't ever leave us alone. If you're waiting on the day for Satan to leave you alone, if you're thinking, I got to get so Holy Ghost-filled, I got to get so sanctified, Gail, that the devil will leave me alone, you'll never have that day. Man, there's always going to be temptation. You got to always examine what's before you. And what's before us is what God told Joshua and Moses. I set before you life and death. You choose. I've got right here, do you want my mercy and grace or don't you? If like trying to talk to your teenage kid. You can't tell them nothing. They know everything. I'm like, will you listen to what I'm trying to offer you? It will save you some frustration. It will save you some steps of failure. I'm not perfect, don't have all the answers, but this I know. Here's what's before you, teenage child. And your decision based on what is before you will determine your outcome. Here is God. Here's what I put before you. Jesus is before you. Redemption is before you. Mercy and forgiveness before you. Eternal life is before you. But what do you want? Do you want that, or do you want the things the world offers? So it's very important we consider what's before us. Verse 2. This is worded kind of odd, and I'll expound on it a little bit. And put a knife to your throat if thou be a man given to appetite. Kind of an odd wordage, isn't it? Put a knife to your throat if you be a man given appetite. Now, don't mean when I go to mom's house and I start eating too much, they put a knife to my throat. This is talking about that we have to control our appetite. Now, I'm talking spiritually. This is talking really about money and wealth, but we can tie this into a lot more than that. Control your appetite. Don't ever let the appetite for the world get so out of hand that you fail to allow God to give you what you need. Because our appetites, we know that. How many of us got in trouble about buying a vehicle we should never bought? Because our appetite just saw it and we wanted it. Car salesmen will tell you, and I know Gordon won't amen this probably, but car salesmen will tell you, they know if you walk off the lot without buying a car, the percentage of you coming back to buy that car has really went down. They want to get you while you're on the lot. You walk on the lot and they start looking at your face. Oh, that's a good one. Gordon's like, I got this one. You know, oh, it's a good car. I can see you in it. Yeah, this is you. This is you. This is you. Are you single? You'll get a woman. Are you married? You'll keep a woman. You know, they got a line for everything. This is you. And I can make the best deal of anybody in town in this car. And I can get you, your payment ain't but $275 a month. Okay. For 19 years. You don't find that after you go sign it. How many months? 649 months. What? Because they'll get your payment wherever you want it. They just won't tell you how long. And so they know that. Is he laughing at me? They know that your appetite, you're coming in and you want that car. And you smell that new car smell. And, oh, you know, I've never had a brand new car. And I think that would be incredible. I've never had a brand new car. But I've sat in them. And I've car lotted hopped. I wanted to test drive a Corvette at the time and act real serious. I wanted to really look good like I got money, wear some gold or something. Got to test drive that. Yeah, too slow. They whet your appetite is what car salesmen do. Commercials, don't they whet your appetite? And it never looks like that in real. You ever seen a Big Mac commercial? Hamburger's that wide on TV, right? Looks so good and everything's layered perfect. Yeah, you get in a box, it's like that big, and you get in a McDonald's. What? Thank you. Thank you. But commercials are for our appetite, right? The pizza commercials, the cheese is stretching. Beer commercials, okay? If you're a drinker, man, they're making beer commercials look good. Everybody's pretty. Everybody's handsome. All the girls are hot. Everybody's having fun. Everybody's having a good time, man. You know, they're over at Buffalo Wild Wings, and they're not ignoring their wives, and they're fist bumping the guys, and cheers, and, you know, everything's great. But it doesn't show you the aftermath. It whets your appetite. And it gets you into a place to where it traps you and you don't want to be there anymore. So put a knife to your throat. I got to control this. I can't let it get the best of me. Verse 3. Be not desirous of his dainties. The devil. We're talking about the devil now. Do not be desirous of his treats, for they are deceitful meat. We know we're fighting a war between flesh and spirit. And we have weaknesses. We have temptations. Sometimes we win those battles. Sometimes we don't. And the devil is always offering that to pull us off the course of where God wants us to be, because he makes it look better. He makes it look more promising. He makes it look more enticing. Just like in the very beginning of Adam and Eve, the garden, the serpent made it look so appealing to partake of that fruit. But then what happens? You bite, and then you're poisoned. It's almost like a rabies thing, right? You know, somebody gets bit by rabies, you know. The poison's there now. You've been bit. That's what sin does. I'm going to tell you, sin is painted with a very broad brush of beauty by the world. They make sin look like fun instead of destruction. But we find out sometimes too late when we get pulled in too far. I didn't want to get here. I don't want this wall I built, I didn't mean to build it, but I built it by every decision I made. Verse 4. Labor not to be rich. Cease from your own wisdom. Now we know what the Bible says about that. Lay up treasures in heaven, not on the earth. Because we know that riches can easily forsake us and fly away and be gone. Verse 5. Will thou not set thy eyes upon that which is not? The riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Riches. Now I don't talk about riches more than money. Riches is those things in our lives of the world that we think are so important. Whether it's our habits we do, whether it's going out, you know, partying, whatever our thing is, whatever it is. Those things in our lives that we can't seem to let go of. Those things become a bondage to us. And those things take from us. They rob us. We know sin robs us. And it's not that we're going out sometimes intentionally trying to sin. We just allow the devil to deceive us into thinking this is what's right. And then before we know it, we realize this is not what's right. And it's robbed me of my joy. It's robbed me of my peace. It's robbed me of my rest. It's robbed me, God, of my understanding. It's robbed me of my anointing. Because, God, I used to be able to feel you. And now I shake like Samson and nothing happens. I used to be able, God, to experience your presence just by calling your name. And now it's a little bit harder to press through. Because I've got these layers I've allowed the devil to build in my life that's keeping me, God, from touching the throne. We ought to walk in such an intimate relationship with God that at any moment, we can feel him. It shouldn't be a chore to feel the presence of God. But sometimes it is because we've allowed the wrong walls to be built. Verse 6. We only got 8 verses to read. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire his dainty meats. Resist the devil. Resist partaking with those people and those things that you know are keeping you from victory in Christ. I know this generation, we're in a different world than we've ever lived in before. I mean, I think about how much things have changed so quickly. I know every generation is different. Every season is different. We've talked about that before. I mean, I bet my grandma Minton thought the Beatles were the devil. We've come a long way from the Beatles. Look at what is being on TV. Look at what is airing on TV. Look at the language. Look at the visual. Look at the ideology behind even shows now, the political ideology that's behind everything, trying to govern and steer and direct people like sheep into the slaughter. And without the Holy Spirit, we ain't got a chance. Because I'm going to tell you something. You can't believe anything anymore, hardly ever, you see on the news. Ever. They are directing and trying to tell us what they want us to hear without us having our own mind to perceive things as truth. And without the Holy Spirit, we're hopeless. We are like a sheep led to a slaughter that we will be destroyed. But with God, if we say, Lord, I don't want these pieces of my life, these walls I'm building, I don't want that to be in there. And we've got an example here in a minute I'm going to share to give you a visual of the walls that the devil will build in our lives. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, you know, I want to say something, and this may be a disappointment to some of you long-time Christians. How many's heard that verse quoted before? As a man thinketh, so is he. I've always heard that preached. It's talking about us as we think about God, so are we. It's not what it's talking about at all. It's talking about this evil ruler. It's using him as an example. As this ruler thinks, as that wrong person thinks. In other words, there's an alternative motive to this guy's banquet. He has a motive. as a man thinks, as this evil person thinks, that's who he really is. He may spread out the table. I may ask Gordon to lunch. You know, hey, let's go to lunch, brother. Come on, I'll buy you a T-bone steak, loaded baked potato salad. We good, you know. I can only afford one. So, so I take Gordon, buy him lunch. I'm sitting there, I'm just talking to Gordon, man. You know, I just love you, brother. And I'm, you know, we're praying for you. And, you know, good to see you at church. And how's life going? And the whole time, we're sitting there at Logan's, and I'm buying his lunch, and I'm talking to him, and I'm getting him my pearly whites. Well, partial white. I'm getting him my pearly whites. And I'm just cheesing at him, and I'm looking at him, and I'm just, you know, loving on him as a, from brother to brother. In my heart, I've got a plan. What can I gain from Gordon? I'm only taking him out to take him out. That's pretty good, ain't it? I'm only taking him out to take him out. Because I've got a motive inside my heart. That's why we've got to be careful. Things may appear on the surface as okay, but underneath there's a layer of deceit and evil that's waiting to jump on you and take away your joy, your peace, your strength, your power. Samson played way too long with the devil. Old Samson, y'all know the story of Samson. My son said it, said it in the most perfect way he could possibly say it years ago. He was probably 13 years old. They did a youth service. And Jamie talked about Samson. And somebody said, so Jamie, what's the moral of the story? Without cracking and breaking a smile, he looked at the audience. He says, don't date prostitutes. I mean, that's about as real as you can get. Don't date prostitutes. Here is Samson, who had all this strength and power, but all these women he just couldn't resist. He was a ladies' man. The long Fabio hair. The big old muscles. He was Samson, the judge of Israel. But he couldn't resist these women. So he would lay with Delilah. And I'm sure Delilah was very beautiful and very, you know, fair and just very charming and very sweet and very seductive. Sorry, Kevin. Didn't mean to make that get a picture. So, Kevin is single, bless his heart. So, he's sitting here, and he lays in her lap. Oh, Samson, what's your secret to your strength? And he lied to her the first time. So, the guards come in, did what, you know, shook himself to have power. Samson, you lied to me. What's your secret? Lied to her a second time. Lied to her a third time. I mean, can you imagine? I got this, man. I'm getting my groove on and still got my power. I still got my anointing and got my woman. I got my Holy Ghost and my woman. I'm good. But the fourth time, she kept vexing his soul. And then she threw on the woman, the real woman card. Yeah, I know, Colton. I know. Got to watch them women. She threw on the woman card. She says, if you really love me, if you really love me, Samson, don't you care for me, don't you? Don't you love me? You know, I just wouldn't sleep with any man. I really love you. And finally, he broke. Says, if you cut the locks of my hair, I'll lose my power. Samson didn't examine close enough what was before him. And what was before him was the enemy lying wait to destroy him. But he thought he could have his fun and have his power. He could have his pleasure and have his peace. But when they cut that hair, she called them in. He shook himself. Nothing happened. They captured this great judge of Israel. Captured him. Poked his eyes out. Made him blind. Tied him to a grindstone. And made him turn it for sport in front of all the people. Here's this great. See, people love to see a big man fall. It's just human nature. We love to see We love to see a big man fall. We love to see a big man fall. There's just something about that. We love to see the Duke basketball team, they all get injuries. We love to see the big man fall. So here's Samson, and they mock him. Here's the guy that took the jawbone of a donkey and killed how many men? Hundreds of men. Here's the man that took the gate of Gaza, the big, huge gate, off the post, put it on his shoulders, and marched 38 miles uphill with this gate on his shoulder. He was a Superman. And he had kryptonite too. That was his kryptonite. And he let it go. He sold it for a little bit of pleasure. Now, I'm not saying Delilah wasn't all that. But I am saying this. She wasn't worth all that. Because he lost his position of where he was. He lost the peace of who he was. He lost the power of what he was. But God's mercy, as you know, showed up in the end when he asked a little boy to lead him to the pillars of the temple. They were having a big meeting, big get-together. There were thousands and thousands there. He asked a little boy to lead him and get his hands on a couple of the parts of the building. And he said, God, can you remember me one more time? Let me feel your power, God, one more time. And the Holy Spirit overshadowed him, and he tore the temple down, and thousands were destroyed of his enemy. You know what that tells me? That God's grace and mercy never left him. He still had God's grace and mercy. But he did lose something and paid a price for it because he didn't consider what was before him. He didn't put a knife to his throat, church. He kept on sleeping and sleeping and lying and lying. And his old pop even told him in that story. When he wanted to, he said, Dad, go get me a Philistine woman. Imagine me telling my dad, hey, Dad, go on down to Cuba, get me a Cuba woman. Bring me a Cuba girl up here, Dad. Go get me a Philistine. Son, there's maidens here in your own country. There's people of your own faith. Don't you want them? The Philistines are a paganistic nation. They worship false gods. For some reason, that's what he went after. He didn't put a knife to his throat. He didn't check himself and say, I've got to keep my appetite in check. You know what makes Weight Watchers a really great program? Not that I'm on it, but what makes it I watch weight all the time. What makes it such a good program is portion control. It's all portion control. You know, you can eat pizza. That's great. You can eat half a slice or whatever. But you got pizza. You want some good old McDonald's French fries? Go order three of them. I mean three fries. One, two, three. Just three individual fries. You can have anything you want, but it's portion control. If we would learn spiritually to have portion control, just because everything's out there don't mean we put to eat it all. We need to have a curb on our spiritual things, of our appetite, saying, God, keep me in check so I don't go overboard. Eat and drink, he said to him. Look what he said. He says, as he thinketh he is, go ahead, Gordon, we're at Logan's, eat, drink. But his heart was not with him. The enemy has an alternative motive. Thank you. I can't talk. The devil has an alternative motive always. You know the old saying that, what's the old saying? Crooks can't trust crooks, or there's no honor among thieves. I mean, really? It always gets me tickled when a bunch of, punks are running around together. Oh, I'm being too brash. I'm sorry. A bunch of punks running around together doing things they shouldn't be doing, and then one of them rats one of them out. I thought you was my friend. Are you serious? You're all thieves. You're all stealing. You're all on drugs. I mean, you really can trust someone that's doing that? Are you serious? But sometimes with the devil, we think, oh, okay, he don't mean no harm. It's just a little bitty bite. Just an itsy bitsy bite. Just one little thing. What harm could it do? Evie, you got cats. Aren't they the nosiest things? If you're messing on anything, they come snooping out, want to know what you're doing. They're climbing up on it, looking in it. I mean, man, that's why they say curiosity kill the cat. Don't be a cat, church. Don't let the devil dangle that string. I mean, a cat will keep, as long as you have that string, he'll chase it all night long. Ain't you getting tired? Just keep on. That's what cats do. They're curious. They're nosy. They inspect everything. Sometimes the devil puts things in our lives and we don't need to even inspect it. We don't even need to look at it. We need to just turn away and say, no, I resist that and I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. His heart's not with him. Last verse, verse 8. The morsel, the thing, the action, the deed, whatever it is in your life, which you have eaten, you shall vomit up and it will lose thy sweet words. Think about that. There's things in our lives that come into our lives that we wish we had never ingested. We wish we had never done. if we could go back, and I know some people say, well, I wouldn't change one thing, you know, okay, fine, that's your world. But I think most folks would say, I wish I'd have done things different. I wish I hadn't have took that morsel. I wish I wouldn't have took that bite. I wish I wouldn't have went that way. I wish I wouldn't have made that decision. Because now, the wall that I have built piece by piece, step by step, decision by decision, I now want to throw up. Because I can't stand what I see. I can't stand how it makes me feel. You know, I think one of the worst things to carry as a human being is guilt. Guilt and shame. Man, it's a heavy load to carry. Because when you carry guilt and shame, that's all that you seem to see. You can't even see the beauty in others or the forgiveness of God because all you see is the guilt and the shame. And as long as we let the devil keep that wall in front of us, we can't walk in the forgiveness Christ has offered us. What's in your walls today? We're going to build a wall this morning before we get out of here. I need 7 people to step up here and line up in front of the platform, if you would. I need 7 pieces to a wall. I'm going to give each of you a piece to your wall. 7 people. You're going to make Teresa do all this. Come on, y'all. Bless hearts can't get up. Come on. Keep it turned to you right now. Y'all keep this turned to you right now. Y'all can look, but don't let the audience see it yet. All right. This is our wall. This is the wall the devil can build in our lives. And I want every one of you to turn around and hold your note out to the audience and let them see what your piece of your wall is. Can everybody read those? Pride, pain, sorrow, anger, fear, addiction, defeat. Do any of us feel any of these ways this morning? I think all of us could say that we have one or more or maybe even all of these things. But this is what the devil brings to you. This is why Satan got cast out, right? Pride. I want to be God. I want to be the head dog. Mm-mm. Pride cast him down. Pain. The world's in a lot of pain right now. Searching for peace and searching for truth and searching for rest. So much pain. Sorrow. Sorrow for what you've done. Sorrow for where you're at. Sorrow for where you live and the culture around you. Just you live a life of just sorrow, regret. Anger. You know how many folks, I know you probably know this, a pastor I talk to that are angry at God? You're angry at God because things happened. You're angry at God because you're not where you're supposed to be. You're angry at God because he allowed this to happen. And that anger, as you know, leads to bitterness. That bitterness leads to a very hardened heart. These are pieces of wall that we are seeing built that keeps us. Gordon is trapped behind his pride. Teresa's trapped behind her pain. She wants out, but she's trapped behind it. Nancy Rose is trapped behind her sorrow. Ray is trapped behind his anger. He don't want to be angry, but it's there. And he's angry because he's not allowed forgiveness and love to come into his life. So he stays angry. Fear. Fear is a big one. The devil's all about fear. Make us afraid of everything, of everyone. I'm afraid to let go. I'm afraid to let you in. I'm afraid to step out. I'm afraid to believe. I'm afraid to think different. I'm afraid of what's going to happen in the future. I'm afraid of everything. Fear is a powerful piece of our wall that many of us stay behind. And as long as Roger is trapped behind fear, he can never walk into what God has for him. And poor old Ralph. You can go see Melanie Monday down at the office, okay? They got help for that. Open up at 5 o'clock in the morning. And they'll be out the door waiting. Poor Ralph is hidden behind addiction. That's your favorite one? Is that what you said? Y'all can switch. Here's Ralph, who years and years of addiction has built a wall to where he is trapped. He... What'd you do? Switch out? Boy, Holy Ghost moving quick on him this morning. Hallelujah. He's coming out. But we know we have an epidemic in our nation of addiction. It's at an all-time high. It's absolutely ridiculous how available everything is. So for years and years, Ralph wants out, but he's trapped. He tries, but he keeps going back. He don't want to be bound by addiction, but that's the wall he's built. And then Anthony, he's let defeat take over his life. Because Anthony's like, you know what? I've tried and I failed. I tried and I failed. This didn't work out. You ever hear this from young people? Nothing ever works out for me. Nothing ever works out right. If anybody's going to fail, it's going to be me. It's like that guy on Andy Griffith that couldn't ever have that guy of bad luck. Remember Barney was scared of? They all put in and give him the free TV, pull the number out of the hat, pull the hat size. I mean, talking about bad luck. Couldn't even win that way. I'm just defeated. A perfect visual for somebody defeated would be Eeyore. Y'all know who Eeyore is on Pooh. Winnie the Pooh. Eeyore, the donkey. He's always looked sad, don't he, Matthew? He loses his tail. Oh, okay, well, that's another story. But of course, I feel pretty defeated too if I lost my tail, I guess. But I'm just saying. Here is Eeyore. He's always so sad. And I used to grow up watching Droopy, the dog. Remember the black and white dog, Droopy? I'm so happy. That's why, remember, he always said it that way. I'm so excited. Or it's like the Darling Boys on Andy Griffith, remember? Andy said, boy, them boys are riding today. They ain't saying a word. But they excited. So here's Anthony. He's let defeat, he's let failures build his wall to where now he just stays there. I don't even try. Anthony don't even try no more. I don't even try no more. Why? Because I'm defeated. I'll always be defeated. My mama's defeated. My kids will be defeated. I'm just defeated. So he stays there. So here's a good picture of just some things that can be part of our wall of our lives. Pride, pain, sorrow, anger, fear, addiction, defeat. Now, let's see what a God wall looks like. And I've got these in order to where it is opposite. So now, don't show them yet. Keep it turned. Ralph, help is on the way, brother. All right, so you've seen the wall. The devil's defeated. I mean, he's forming. And remember now, the devil only builds that wall because we allow him to. We have the power. The Bible talks about that. There's power in the blood. We are overcomers. How? 1 John says, we're overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. So Jesus has died for me, so I am forgiven, and I am a child of God, and I will testify and declare that to everyone. So we have power. We allow the devil to build those walls because we listen to what he says. What if you listened to everybody in your life that told you something and you did it? Where would you be? I remember my dad taught my mom to get a 1980. Confused, that's pretty good. I remember my dad taught my mom to get a 1980 Pinto years ago. Remember, he didn't like that car. Dad kept pushing my mom to get the... Get this Pinto, Ford Pinto. Y'all remember the Pinto cars? She had a 1980 baby blue Pinto. I'll never forget it. Had the hatch, had the big windshield in the back. It's a straight drive. Dad kept pushing her to get the straight drive, right? Better on gas. Get straight drive. Mom resented that for a while, didn't you? She never again. Now, see, that was Mom's fault because she let, not the devil, but let Dad... Let Dad influence her. So here's Mom driving this Pinto car for those 3, 4, 5 years long she had it. Every time she got in it, probably regretting it. Every time she put it in reverse. Oh, damn, David. Put it in first gear. I have to change the gear. Went for David. You know, regret. But she made that decision to listen to what she didn't really want. And it put her in a place of bondage. Let's look what happened to Gordon. Gordon went from pride, the devil's wall, to God giving him a new piece of his wall. Humility. There's something about being humble. And there's nothing wrong with being humble. You ever talk to somebody that knows it all? They ever take your conversation and you feel like saying, I just want you to shut up and listen. I know you're smarter than me, but this is my story. Let me tell it. We can't walk in Christ if we don't have humility. So Gordon now has let that piece of his wall of pride, let God come in and replace it with humility. Now he says, okay, God, here I am. What do you want me to do? Let's see what Teresa. The devil gave her pain. God gives her healing. Healing. Healing for her soul. Healing for her mind. Healing for her spirit. Healing for her thoughts. Completely changes that around to where she suffered many, many years of pain, physical, spiritual, emotional, whatever it was. And now she is healed because she's allowed God to put that in her wall. Nancy Rose went from sorrow to joy. Now, I'm not talking about just happiness. Remember, happiness is only defined by what's happening around you or to you. Joy is defined by who's in you. I guarantee you, I would be very happy if y'all gave me a red Corvette. I'd be happy. I even do my MC Hammer dance for you. I would do it. I'm so happy. But then we'd have to pay the insurance on it. I'd be sad again. Or if I wrecked it and I lost it, be sad. I can't wreck Jesus. Ain't that good news? I can't wreck Jesus. I can wreck the vet and be sad, but I can't wreck Jesus. So now Nancy Rose has had all these years of sorrow because she's allowed the devil to define her happiness based on what's happened to her. So she's had a hard life, was raised bad, was abused, blah, 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 all the stuff that created sorrow. But then Jesus comes along, says, I've got something to offer you, joy. And now you can be happy even when the devil says you should be sad because you know who you serve. All right, Mr. Ralph here, angry his whole life. I mean, Ray, sorry. I can't think about the attic down there. Sorry. Ray, he was angry his whole life. God took that anger and replaced it with love. Now I love people. And now I love myself because God loves me. Some people preach against that, you know, saying you shouldn't say you love yourself. Look, God made you. If you don't love who you are in Christ, you're rejecting the model God created. So yes, absolutely, Ray should be like, I can now love myself because now I see myself as Christ sees me. He sees me not as what I was, that bitter, angry person, but now I'm full of love. And that love now is going to other people. You know what love does? Man, love sets you free. Because I'm going to tell you something. It's a lot harder to walk in anger than it is to walk in love. Because when you're walking in anger, you always got that wall of resistance built up everywhere you go. But when you love everybody, man, it's just easy. It's easy. Easy to love. All right, Roger DeWall was fear. Now he's got faith. Faith's the opposite of fear. Now Roger's not stuck behind, I can't do it. Now he's saying, I will do it. He's not stuck behind, I'll never do it. He's now saying, I can always do it. Because now I'm walking in faith. This is what my new wall looks like. I'm no longer that fraidy cat. I'm no longer that cat in a room of rocking chairs, right? I now have faith that I can conquer any mountain. I can slay any giant, not because of me, but because God has placed his spirit in me. And I'll walk in that faith. Now Ralph, who was under addiction, hallelujah. God now giving him freedom. Freedom. Because we know what addiction does. And maybe you're not addicted to drugs or alcohol, but many of you smoke in here. And if all of a sudden the cigarette business went out today on CNN, no more cigarettes ever be made. Y'all will be freaking and jumping off bridges. Because you're so addicted. Well, if I can't smoke, I just die. You'd be like children of Israel. If I can't have a camel, just bury me here, oh God. Addiction is strong, and we know that. And now Ralph's allowed God to remove the addiction and give him freedom to where he doesn't have to worry about bolting out of church 10 minutes early to get a cigarette. And I know some of y'all are like, man, I hope it's about over because I'm at the brink of my limit right now. And little old Anthony, who's always walking defeat, now he's got a new wall. Now he's walking in victory. He's not that defeated person that says, I can't and I never will. Now he's saying, I'm an overcomer and I always will, because now the victory of Christ lives in me. This is the new wall that God can build in our lives. Many of you are on the other side of that page this morning. Many of you are on this side of the page. But man, what freedom it is to be humble, walk in healing, walk with joy, walk in love, walk in faith, be free, walk in victory. You make those decisions. You make those decisions. Thank you all very much for your... Did they do a great... They've got a pretty wall. Thank you very much. Victory! Thank you, Anthony. I think he really has it. Hallelujah. What accent was that? I don't even know. That was great. Go back to my 3 points, Brandon. Let's recap them real quick. Just in closing. Oh, it was Russian. It was Russian, Anthony. Thank you for clarifying that, Selena. Number one, our walls were built piece by piece with every decision we make. Remember that. So if you don't like your wall, rebuild it. Any of you ever have Legos growing up? Lincoln Logs. I'm telling my age. Anybody have Lincoln Logs? Oh, I love them. You can make anything out of them. You don't like what you build Legos? You know what you do? Oh, that's fun. Tear them down. Rebuild it. Make it what you want to be. You make those decisions. If you're tired of being sorrowful, then get some joy. You get some joy by saying, God, I need some joy. My joy's got to be in you, not in what's happening against me. Next point. Our walls could be our best friend because they can keep out what the devil's trying to bring against us, or they can be our worst enemy because it's keeping us out from what God wants us. So walls are dual purpose. It's a very dual purpose. See, in other words, this church right now, the front door, we have someone out there watching the door, and that door's secure. There's no way inside this church through an unlocked door right now. So those doors and those walls are doing two purposes. They are keeping you safe in here, and they are keeping the enemy out there. We make those decisions. And the third point, the very walls we build to protect us can become the very walls that enslave us. And that goes back to the story of the hurt woman. That, you know, I want to build this wall of not loving anymore. Then you're trapped in that. I'm going to build this wall of being angry because I'm just tired. You know, you ever heard this expression? Good guys finish last. Doing the right thing never works. I'm going to be like everybody else because they get theirs. We've got to be very careful about statements like that. God sees all and God knows all. And I promise you, God honors all. Whether you think of getting by with it now or not getting your piece of the pie right now, just trust me, do the right thing. You'll get your piece of the pie in God's eyes. Come on up, Marjorie, if you got something to sing. And Gordon, if you want to come up and help her. Let's stand again. Let's sing this before the offering.
Your grace. I can't think of a song now.
Surrender to you, God, and say, Lord, take away these pieces I have formed with years of decisions. Take them out of the way, God, and make me new. Take away the anger and give me love. Take away the fear and give me faith. Take away the sorrow and give me joy. Take away the pain and give me healing. Take away all these things, Lord. I pray, I open myself to you that you will take these pieces out that I've stood behind for years and years, and I'm tired of being a prisoner. I'm tired of being a slave to what I have built. And I am ready, God, to come out of this and be what you've called me to be. I'm ready to cross the other side and have a different wall in my life. Bless this congregation, Lord, and begin to bring all those things into fruition and into place by your power and by your hand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.